Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Hope you had a tremendous weekend. And thanks, as always, for kicking off another week with us here on the show. Today, we're excited. We're joined by Ashley out in San Francisco, California. She talks about her trip down to Disneyland for two quick days with her friend, one day in Disneyland, one day at DCA. We talk about all the fun attractions they got to do, going to Batu for the very first time for both of them. She gives lots of tips for eating vegan in the theme parks. And also, she was an Orlando native there for 7 years. So she gives us some thoughts about what it's like to live in, you know, near Walt Disney World and not lose the magic of the theme park. So I think you're going to enjoy today's show. Don't forget, today's show always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs. They're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. So just drop by the website, fill out the quote form, and we'll be working with you right away. No cost to you over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click means a lot to us. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to each and every one of our patrons. You allow us to put this show out four times a week all around the world. It's because of your support that we get to continue to do the podcast. And our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, come on over. Join us at patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1964 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope your football teams won. If not, there's always next weekend. It's early in the season. Hang tight. Hope you're having a great kind of start to the fall season. I know fall doesn't start here in the Northern Hemisphere for another couple of weeks, but if you go to the stores or watch any TV or anything, pumpkin spice lattes are everywhere and Christmas decorations are popping up at the stores. Come on, slow down. We haven't even had Halloween or anything like that. So hope you're having a great start to your week. We're going to give you some company here as you get out the door and down the road with a fun trip report as we do on Mondays. But today, I know you've said, Mike, you've been doing this for 13 and a half years. I know what's coming. Disneyland trip report today. So we're going to have some fun with that. So we are heading out to San Francisco, California with listener Ashley. Ashley, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to give Disneyland some love.
Yes. Yes. And the Monkey Man is in here. He's my good buddy from Canada. He's like a super famous baker. He was on Cake Boss. And you got to follow him on, you got to find him on Twitter and Instagram. He is amazing. He's like my brother and I've never met the guy. But I mean, we have a lot in common, except he's a Dodgers fan. I'm a Cardinals fan, but they're playing each other and 10 minutes behind me. So anyway, he's in here and he'll be excited because California is his jam. He's a huge Dodger fan. So anyway, tell us why you're a huge Disney fan, because you're from Ohio. You spent some time in Orlando living down there. Now you're out in California. So you're kind of getting the entire the Disney North America kind of thing going.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that I'm like a lot of my life I've lived near a Disney park. Like, I'm not complaining about that at all. But yeah, I was born and raised in Cleveland, but because I was on that side of the country, since like 2-ish, I think was my first trip to Disney World. I went to Disney World my whole childhood and young adult life. And then I moved down to Orlando for college, and I went for college, got married there, got engaged at the Grand Floridian, met my husband, all that. And so for those 7 years, I was a pass holder at Disney World and had never been to Disneyland up to this point. And then in 2013, I moved out to the Bay Area. And obviously, that's like a 5-hour drive from Disneyland. So that's where I've primarily been going. I have been back to Disney World since then, but Disneyland has just stolen my heart after that.
So how often do you get to go down to Disneyland? Because I mean, that's you know, I think a lot of folks, at least, okay, I'm being very general here, but I think a lot of folks in the Midwest think, oh, you're in California, so you're a local to Disneyland. I mean, that's the difference between San Francisco and Disneyland is greater than St. Louis to Chicago, you know, so it's it's not close, but is it something that, you know, you do like once every couple of months? Man, that's a long drive, but how often do you get down?
Well, and the good thing is that like if you fly out of like San Jose, or it's basically the same, San Jose or San Francisco. It's like an hour flight to LAX. So that's very quick. Obviously, if you need your car, you can drive the 5 hours as well. But previous to like COVID, now that I couldn't go, you've said this similar, like when you can't go, you want to go even more. But before then, I always went at Christmas. And then my birthday's at the end of January. So we would try to go around then, or like March, April, like for my birthday, a belated birthday. So I go like a few times a year, but I've been once since the park opened, and I already have a few times planned. So I'm ramping up. I'm trying to like make up for lost time.
That's exactly what everybody's doing. Everyone's like, I missed it. I got to make up. You know, I've got missed four trips. I'm going to take five in 2022. It's kind of Okay. So I've been asking everybody the same question here as we lead up here, and it's going to be here before you know it. It's like a few weeks away now. The 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World down in Florida. So if you could bring back, because you have, you know, you're a pass holder down there, spent years down there. If you could bring back any Walt Disney World attraction, parade, promotion, restaurant, anything from the past, you got this one power. What are you going to bring back, one thing for the 50th?
Okay, well, I have one actually in the park, which I think counts as like what you're saying. But outside of the park, I would really want to bring back Disney Quest.
Yes. I think anybody would ever say that. I love that.
I didn't go a ton, but I can't even remember if my pass included. At one point, Disney Quest was included in one of the passes. I can't even remember if mine included it, but I went a handful of times, and it was always a blast going to Disney Quest. And I was so upset that it had closed, so I still miss it. But in the park, definitely the Great Movie Ride.
Oh man, good call. So, if you could, right now, Disney says have you been back to ride Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway?
Great Movie Ride was already closed, okay. But Mickey and Minnie's had not opened yet, so I haven't been on it.
Okay, then I can't really ask you, because I always want to know, like, if Disney said, okay, here's the deal. You get Mickey and Minnie's or you get Great Movie Ride, I've been on both. And I mean, but I'm an old fart that doesn't like change. So I would say Great Movie Ride just because it was epic. And Mickey and Minnie's is great, though. It's a great ride.
Yeah, I've seen the ride-throughs and everything, so I feel like I have an idea. Obviously, it's not the same as being on it, but I think I would take back Great Movie Ride with a facelift. It needed a little bit of a facelift, a little bit of love, but I think I would take Great Movie Ride back.
Okay, so before we hop into the Disneyland trip, I got to ask you, because you're an expert, I have you on here. So being a local down there for about 7 years and going to the parks all the time, what's that like for somebody that's like me? You know, I get to go a few times a year. You know, we fly down, we go for a week, we go for a Run Disney weekend, something like that. You were from Ohio, so then you got that opportunity to be a local. Did it change the magic for you? Was it something that it wasn't as special because you weren't staying in the hotels all the time? Just talk to us about that for a bit.
So I would say that it definitely, yes and no. So I would say that when you're going all the time, you don't get like, when you walk into the Magic Kingdom or that, you don't get that like, like giddiness. You're like, this is fun, I'm happy, but it's not that thing. But you also get an extra thing, because like when you live down there, everybody comes to visit you, or everyone that's in town, you go to the parks with them, and that rubs off because they get that immediately. And you know, you're in there every weekend, so you know like all this, and you just can take them around. So that's nice to kind of be a tour guide for people. So yes and no, it has different pros and then some cons too. So
that's one of the things I always tell my wife, because she's super close to her family. And I mean, I love my family, but you know, I don't need to see them all the time. But I mean, I think that's a lot of guys and you know, the difference between us. But the thing is, I can't move away from my family. And every time it gets to be like February in the Midwest, I'm so sick of the cold and the dirt. You know, you're from Ohio, the dirty snow, you know, like the snow is pretty, like when it falls and then 5 minutes later, it's gross. And I'm like, we just got to move somewhere. I mean, Southern Georgia is fine, but I'd like to be in Florida. And she's always like, but I won't see my family. I said, every person I've talked to that moves from the Midwest, that has family like in the Midwest, they're going to come visit. I'm like, everybody wants to go to Florida in the wintertime. We'll get to see them. We'll get a house with an extra bedroom. Yeah, I haven't sold her yet.
They flock down in droves when they know they have somewhere to stay.
Right.
And they someone's familiar. You'll get sick. You'll see them more than if you stayed up in the Midwest.
Whoa. Okay, so we'll stay. I love my in-laws.
Maybe put that plan on hold.
I love my in-laws. I don't know if I like them staying at my house all the time. You know, it's like it's fun to go visit.
Grand Central if you live near Disney.
Like having the birthday cake, good Thanksgiving meal, then I go home. You know, so that's kind of how that all works. Okay, so let's hop into your Disneyland trip. So tell us about the one you want to talk about. I know it was a friend's trip, a couple of days, Disneyland. So talk to us about the planning first and how it came together.
So during COVID, I was like, oh, you know, everybody's depressed and everything. And I'm like trying to look forward to something. So I had did a group text with my group of friends. And I said, okay, like when this is all over, yeah. quote, air quotes, when this is when this is possible to happen, we'll say that, like Disneyland trip, like question mark. And like several people were like, yeah, yeah. So we kind of kept that. I was, you know, that possible planning was in the future. So when I was the last to get vaccinated of my friends, because my friends like are teachers and stuff like that. Right. So when I was like fully vaccinated, I said, okay, remember this text chain that we had? Like, can we get this going? So it ended up just being me and one of my other friends, like one other girl. And I was like, that's fine. Like, you still want to go? She's like, yeah. So I was like, okay, we'll go. So yeah, so she, my friend Lizzie, I went with, and she'd never been to Disney World. And she hadn't been to Disneyland in like 10 years. So I was giddy about that, because I was like, okay, there's a bunch of stuff. And she had never been to DCA. So there was a bunch of new stuff that she was going to experience. I was so happy about that. So I kind of, for this trip, I wanted to do Blue Bayou and I wanted to do Lamplight Lounge. So a big part of planning was trying to get those reservations. I lost like several nights sleep, like setting alarms every half an hour from like midnight to 3 a.m. to check the reservation system. And I ended up getting both, but it was a sacrifice. Like, it was not easy to get them.
Well, I mean, and everybody listening today is like nodding right along with you, right? Is it a good Disney trip if you don't lose sleep for some kind of planning issue prior to the trip? I mean, I don't think I've ever had one, and I do this for a living, so I lose sleep for other people too. So yeah, that's I get, we all get it, but it's worth it in the end when you get what you're looking for. And then you can go in. Now, this was also, I think it's super exciting when you get to take a friend that doesn't have the experiences you have. I mean, when you it's kind of like when people say, oh, I get to take my kid for the first time when they're like five, you know, and they've been watching Disney Junior mm-hmm. and they get to see the character for the first time. Did you kind of get that when you guys arrived? I mean, was she like so excited and you were just so excited because of that?
Well, I probably like overwhelmed her a bit. Because like a month before, we had the plans and we were hanging out. I'm like, so Rise of the Resistance, and we have to do this, and we have to be out, and we have to, I need you to help me, and this ride, and it's different here. And I mean, and she was like, okay, that sounds fun. Like, I trust you.
Just, I'll follow you. Let me keep up. That's what I was, yeah, I say, I run races, but I don't run in the parks. I walk fast though, so stay with me, you know?
No, she was excited, but I think I was like overwhelming her with my excitement.
Very cool. So now let me ask. So now, did you guys stay? Where'd you guys stay when you were down there? Did you guys stay at a Disneyland, one of the on site hotels, or did you stay offsite?
We stayed offsite because, as I'm sure you know, and people that have been to Disneyland know, like offsite is like a lot of the offsite hotels are closer than right. the Disneyland Hotel in Grand Californian. So, and a lot cheaper. The hotels there are really expensive, and there's only three. You know, right. So you don't have a ton of choice. So, yeah, I've only ever stayed off property at Disneyland. Yeah.
So do you have a recommendation? Because my guests are always asking, you know, get some reviews for offsite hotels that work out well. So did you stay at a place that you thought good value and did it work out okay?
So I stayed at the Best Western. I think there's a few Best Westerns on Harbor, which is that main road. But I stayed at the Best Western. I think it's called like Mini Suites Plus, I believe. It's the one that's right across from the crosswalk. Like, mm-hmm. it's like a 2-minute walk to the security on the Esplanade. So you cannot beat the location of that hotel. And the room was really big. I mean, it wasn't like, the room is fine. Like, it was comfortable and everything, and the beds were comfortable. But the location, you just couldn't beat it. So I would definitely stay there again.
I quoted that one for a guest just last night. So that's very,
okay,
very
great.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about, you guys get there. You have all your plans laid out. Your friend's like, just holding on for dear life because you're so excited. So how does it go when you first get there? I mean, is it just like goosebumps and you know, walking down Main Street? Or did you guys go to DCA first? I don't know where you went first.
Right. Well, she actually did literally hold on to me. If there was a crowd, I was like, grab onto my bag. And she was holding on to me like a kid with her mother. So that actually happened. So, but well, the night before, we did not sleep at all because I was so nervous about Rise of Resistance, and I had completely freaked her out, totally freaked her out. So we didn't sleep. We were up at 5:45 laying there and everything. But we did get them. I got group 23, which was my first time doing a virtual queue. So I was like really happy with that result.
Yeah,
it took me a minute to come down from that. My legs were like wobbling. But yeah, we did rope drop. So we did that, got the boarding pass, and then did rope drop. And we did Disneyland first. So we were there, and we went left into Adventureland first. So that's where we started.
So was there any question that you were going to do Disneyland first? I mean, so I still haven't been to Disneyland. I'm going to rectify that here very soon. I said COVID kind of woke my eyes up to that when I couldn't go. I'm going to make sure I do because that's where it all started. But there's no way I could go to DCA first. I mean, it's right.
I don't know if there was I think there might have been something about on-site guests may have gotten something like a magic hours type of situation. And it was, you know, I did the opposite.
Yep.
So I think Monday was DCA, I believe. And so I did Disneyland. But even if that had not been the case, I probably would not have done DCA. Right. And I was so nervous for Rise. I just wanted to get that done.
Okay. It's like the Disney lottery. It's like, oh my gosh, I won. You know, I got my spot. And 23 is a good group. I mean, that's something that's going to happen. Hopefully it happened for you pretty quickly in the day.
So that's we were called by 9:30.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Okay. Don't want to rush it. Okay. So you guys go into Adventureland. I love Adventureland at World. It's one of my favorite lands. So walk us through how the day progresses going through Disneyland, like some of the unexpected things that happened or some of the, you know, just highlights of the day.
So I am very type A. So I had like listed out what attractions in like order we were going to do them. And that totally immediately just got destroyed and like didn't happen, which is fine. But I feel like it's good to have a plan in case it works out. But we immediately went to Indy because Indy is like one of the best rides at Disneyland. It's amazing. And, you know, it has like one of the longest lines too. So we went right there and they're like, oh, it's not open. Keep walking. And everyone's like, okay, keep going. So Pirates is after that. So that was going to be the next one. And they're like, it's not open. Keep going. Everyone's like, what?
Like, what's open around this place? Exactly.
Like, the park is open. Like, please let us in. Right. And I'm like, oh my gosh, my whole plan is falling apart. So then Haunted's after that. So they finally let us get in line and we got on Haunted for the first attraction. So basically later in the day, we had to backtrack on Pirates and Indy. But yeah, so we basically did Adventureland and then just cut over to Fantasyland. And we were just in there until we got called for Rise. And then we just shot right over to Rise. And I have not been to Batuu or been on Rise or anything like that before. So that was a first for both me and my friend.
Okay, so let me ask you about that because that's something you guys both had for the first time that was new. And I can kind of relate to that because I've been to Galaxy's Edge at Walt Disney World many times at this point. Are you any kind of a Star Wars fan or just casual? Or
I'm very, very casual. Okay, I don't dislike it by any stretch, but I'm very casual. Like, I feel for the people that's like the whole point of their trip. Like I can't imagine how heartbroken like big Star Wars fans, adults and children would be if they didn't get on Rise. Like I would be disappointed because I have heard it was so hyped and everything. And for once I stayed away from spoilers. That's not me, but for that ride, I did stay away from as many spoilers as I could. So, yeah, I'm very casual, but I was very excited to get on it though.
So what'd you think of the land overall though, when you went in there, because you've seen Walt Disney World, you've seen Disneyland and all the theming. Was it what you were expecting? Was it more just as far as seeing the Millennium Falcon and all the other, you know, places inside Batuu?
It was definitely immersive. Like it met that kind of like check that box of being super immersive. The one thing that people have mentioned that I did notice was like the lack of characters. Cause like you go into different parts, like especially in DCA. In DCA, there was characters everywhere. Like you just were walking by them. They're over here. They're over there. In Disneyland, there wasn't so much, but in like Galaxy's Edge, there was no character. So it kind of, that was a little bit of a letdown. But as far as like immersive, like the market and everything, like the bazaar or that kind of feeling area, it was so cool. Yeah.
Okay. So I got to ask you, cause I stayed away from spoilers too for Rise of the Resistance. I mean, that was hard cause you know, I didn't get there right when it opened and I'm like, you know, every Monday, like, oh, we did. I'm like, stop. Don't, you know, did you like it? Just don't tell spoilers. So, and I'm still trying to stay away from a lot of spoilers because I know a lot of people still haven't had that opportunity because of COVID. But to me, it is the most immersive experience. It's not even a ride. It's not an attraction because there's so many aspects to the overall experience. It's the coolest thing I've seen in a theme park, bar none. So, but I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So what were your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I feel you don't have to be a fan. You definitely don't have to be a fan. Just like you don't have to, I did not like the movie Avatar, but Flight of Passage is a completely different experience to watching the movie to me. I could really like that attraction. So I feel like Rise is the same. Like I do like the Star Wars movies, but it's a completely different experience from those. So you don't have to be a fan. I mean, just the different, all the elements, like the layers upon layers upon layers, the two different ride systems. And like, I've watched some ride-throughs and I'm like, oh, I didn't see that. Right. Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. Like, I missed things completely from my first try. So I feel like you could go on it over and over and there's just so much to see. So
I agree. It's just something that it has a lot of repeatability and it's very cool. So, okay. I want to make sure we get everything in. So after you go through Batu, got all that. And then it's kind of like, we got the boarding group. Got Rise, because yeah. I mean, seriously, this Disney fans get it, but it's like once you get Rise under your belt, it's kind of like you take the elephants off your shoulders and you can go have fun. So how does the rest of the day unfold? Did you guys stay there from like opening to close and did you just keep going and going and going? Did your friend hang on? I mean, hopefully you didn't shake her. I mean, yeah, how'd it go?
Yeah, she hung on. She hung on. Yeah, and we did open to close. And we, after that, we like took a break and got like some blue milk, green milk, because those are plant-based. That's coconut milk, coconut and rice milk. So that's vegan friendly. And Mickey pretzel, which is also vegan friendly, no cheese. We just took a breather after that because it was quite intense up to that point. We basically jumped around depending on the wait times. Then we just bounced around. We didn't even go into Toontown. We didn't even walk over there because we just had, you can't do all the attractions in a day. And I didn't even remember that it was there, honestly. I'll have to say, one next trip, I'll have to, like, stop and go over there. But, there's just so much. You just can't possibly do it all in one day. But we just kept riding things. And then we went to Blue Bayou for lunch because we didn't want to do a dinner. We wanted to do a sit-down lunch, like, get out of the heat. And I wanted to give her a break. I could have gone all day, but I wanted to give her a sit-down break. And it was kind of a belated birthday lunch for her. So, and we had both never done Blue Bayou. I'd always like looked at it as you go, because it's part of the Pirates ride, mm-hmm. similar to Mexico.
Right.
So we just took the plunge and did that. And that was really cool. Do I have to do it again? Probably not. But I wanted to have to do it once.
Really? See, now I always eat at Mexico, at Epcot, at San Angel Inn, just because I love, I don't even know really, and I'm a big Mexican food person, but like, I don't even really, on the menu, it's all fancy stuff, and then they serve it to you, it's dark as a dungeon in there, so I don't know really what I'm eating. I know it's some kind of like a burrito enchilada thing with some beans, I don't know, but I love it because of the atmosphere. I love, seeing the pyramid there, and the smoke coming out of the top, and the boats going by, and so you said you don't have to do it again, which, that's kind of the thing. I know this sounds crazy because I want to do Pirates and I want to do like Alice in Wonderland, all the stuff that you can't do, the Casey Jr. train, all the stuff that's at Disneyland that we don't have, Matterhorn. But Blue Bayou super up there on my things to do. So, I mean, is it for a first timer? Is it something you have to do? Do you think?
I would say you don't have to do it. So I do immediately compare it with Mexico at Epcot. It's even darker. Like when you walk in, they're like, okay, there's a step here because you are blind. You are completely blind. And I was actually, oh God, like the guy's kind of like walking slow in front of me. And it was like dangerous. But there's a little bit, in Mexico, it's much more grand. There's more like things to look at. There's like the little bayou kind of like homes, the little like on the water in the background. And you see the boats. And then most of it's like kind of behind you. There's like the lights and the homes behind you. That's actually part of the Blue Bayou. So I guess immediately I kind of compared it to Mexico. So it was a little bit down from that as far as atmosphere, I feel. But I always wanted to do it. And I definitely do it once. I don't think, especially if it's your first trip, because, a sit-down meal takes a lot of time. So I don't know if a first trip you would have to do it, but eventually I think it'd be good to get around to it.
Oh, no, I'm going to be there for 5 days. I know people say 2 days. I'm staying for five because I just want to do it all a bunch of times because it's like.
No, that's a good plan.
That's how it's good. Well, of course, my daughter, who's 13, she wants to go do Rodeo Drive and all that, all that Hollywood stuff. I'm just like, come on now. Mm-hmm. I want to go to. I just want to. Dad's going to a Dodgers game if we're out there. I want to get a Dodger dog, Chavez Ravine, and I'll be in heaven. Okay, so. You had lunch. Now, you mentioned you're vegan and you guys had some vegan snacks. And did Blue Bayou work out? And overall, did you have any challenges on the 2 days at Disneyland finding stuff that was tasty and met your requirements?
So this was at the end of July. So there were still some things that had been there pre-COVID that had not come back. Not all the restaurants were open. So we were limited in that way, just like everyone else would have been. Like your favorite thing's not there or your favorite restaurant's not open. So not more than the average person just because of the COVID stuff. But yeah, so they have a cauliflower steak and grits at Blue Bayou. That's like the only fully vegan option with no substitution. So you don't have to make any changes to it. So that's what we got. And I had never had grits before. And I was like pleasantly surprised. I really liked it. So that was a good option there. And Dole Whip, of course, is plant-based. There's no dairy in Dole Whip. So you can have Dole Whip to your heart's content. And we got the raspberry lemon float at Tropical Hideaway. And I had my eye on this forever. Like that is the snack. Like I have to get that. And it's just so beautiful. It has like a candied kiwi on top. And it's like obviously lemon and raspberry swirl. And it has like the pog juice at the bottom. And also my friend Lizzie got like the like chili mango version of it, kind of a different version of the float. And we were walking out of it and people were like, Where did you get that? And we're like, well, there's no mobile order and it's a 20-minute wait, but it was worth it.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Like just stuff like that. And it was beautiful, very Instagrammable and delicious. So there's a lot of stuff. And of course the Ronto-less wrap is the vegan version of the Ronto wrap. And that was the best savory thing I've ever had at a Disney park. It was amazing.
See, I'm a big fan of the breakfast Ronto wrap and the regular Ronto wrap, but just the standard one. Cause I don't, you know, just my wife though, cause it was one of those things, right? It was our last day. We got our boarding group. Now, we hadn't been on Smuggler's Run either. And, you know, it's one of those things where you try to, like, you're either going to sacrifice time to eat or you're going to get in line right at Rope Drop, right? Now, I wanted to get back to Smuggler's Run at Rope Drop. So I mobile ordered right as soon as I could. I was the first person to get a Ronto wrap this morning. Grabbed that. My wife's like, here, I'm going to get you one so we can have something. We can eat it in line for Smuggler's Run, kill two birds with one stone. Her quote, she keeps saying this all the time, I'm not having a hot dog for breakfast. And I'm like, it's not a hot dog. It's a Ronto wrap. She's like, it's a hot dog and a little pita. I'm like, no, stop. It's got bad too. It's not a hot dog. Anyway.
I'm on team not a hot dog. Yeah, definitely not a hot dog. But they do have a vegan version of the breakfast one too, which I did not get because I was like, I don't care about food. I just need to get on the ride. Later, I'll worry about food. So, I didn't get to try that one, but I would like to for sure.
So how's the rest of the day go? So you guys get your snacks, Blue Bayou, go through to... I mean, were the crowds good too? I mean, was it low level? Was it busy? And were you able to get in as much as you were thinking you would going in?
Yeah, the crowds were pretty good. I think the longest wait we had was Smuggler's Run, which was like 35 minutes. Everything was like well below that.
Wow.
And even like at the end of the day, we were like, hey, we're running out of time. We got to start getting our fireworks spot. We haven't done Indy yet because they kept us going in the morning. And that's like a 60-minute wait. But we were, it just went. It was like a 50-minute wait or something like that, but it was like super lower than that. So I think the longest we waited was about 35 minutes. So then after Indy, we went and got our spot on Main Street for Disney's Mixed Magic, which I had never seen before. I knew it was like a short show, and it was like remix music. That's all I knew about it. And so we're standing there waiting, you know, it's getting darker and people behind us are like, be ready to rave to each other. And my friend and I are kind of rolling our eyes like, okay, like calm down, like a rave. But no, it was like a rave. People brought all light up stuff and we're like, oh my gosh. And like, it was the best, most fun Disney fireworks show I've ever seen. I know some people hate it, but it was short. It was like 10 minutes or under, but it was so fun, like constant energy. It never stopped the energy the whole time. I loved it.
That's how Midwest people think everything is in California, right? It's like, it's a rave. Like the lights go out. It's going to be a rave. It's California. That's so fun. No, I love that though. I mean, that sounds super cool that everybody, and I would think too, because you know, Disneyland is a locals park that's kind of changing with all the ticket changes and all the different things have been instituted, you know, over the past few months. But it's a place where I think that not only are folks, you know, like you coming from San Francisco, which is semi-local, but you know, you get those folks who are just glad to be there. And especially in these times, it's really kind of the hardy Disney fans that are excited to be there. It's not like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. It's for the most part, it's super fans, I think, still.
Yeah. People came prepared. Like they knew what was going on, what was going to happen. Cause they had their light up masks were lighting up and their ears were lighting up. And I was like, we obviously missed like the memo on this because I would have brought light up stuff if I had known this was going to be like an entire like 10-minute dance party. Everyone's dancing. I was so pleasantly surprised. Like I can't wait to see it again. I really can't.
All right, so everybody, you heard it here first. You head to Disneyland, go to the dollar store, get the stuff, snap,
glow sticks,
glow sticks, all that stuff. Like when I was 8 years old. Yes, perfect. Okay, so is that how you wrapped up that day? You went back to the hotel and DCA the next day, or how'd it go?
Yeah, so we still had an hour before the park closed. I was like, no, we're not going anywhere. We're going back in.
That's the best hour of the day, though. Honestly, I love that last couple hours of the night. That's the best.
Yes, yeah, so we had an hour. So the plan was to try to get Matterhorn. And I am not a Jungle Cruise fan. That's an unpopular opinion, but I just don't like the ride. But I had heard somewhere a long time ago that it was better to ride at night. And I did want to see all the changes that they had made. So we got on Matterhorn. We did single rider, but we ended up right behind each other, like right in a row, because, you know, it's single, kind of like single file riding. So I love that when you're in single rider and you still end up in the same car.
That's happened to me a few
times. Nothing better than that.
Yeah, that's happened to me on Test Track a couple of times. You're like, I just beat the system.
Yeah. You're like, ooh, I'm doing something bad. So yeah, we went on that. And I think they had given that some love because that had been obviously closed during COVID, but also closed for refurbishment since the opening. So they kind of had given it some love. So it was really nice. And I had never done it at night before. I'd only do it during the day. And of course I had heard you have to do it at night, and it was a great ride at night. Cause you're going in and out of the mountain and then you have all the lights and everything. So that was really great. And then we hurry up and rush to Jungle Cruise and got in line for that. Wasn't a good cruise. We were stuck. Boats were backing up. Oh, the girls like trying to come up with more puns and more jokes as we're just sitting there looking at the same scene over and over. I felt for her. She ran out of stuff and eventually just stood there.
I'm so terrible because I love when stuff like that happens and the Jungle Cruise skipper is just like, I'm trying. Yeah. Nobody's laughing. I'm like, it's like doing a podcast, you know, and nobody's laughing.
Yeah, I fell for her. So I got to see, I kind of got to see the changes. Like, it was very hard to see anything. And I was like, this is why I don't ride Jungle Cruise. So I learned my lesson.
Let me ask you this again. because you were from Orlando. I'm sure you did Space Mountain a ton down in Florida. Is the Matterhorn worse on your body than Space Mountain in Orlando? Because that's my favorite ride. It still is. But I'm telling you what. One of these days, and it's going to be soon, I can't take that ride on my back anymore because I'm 6'3". I mean, I don't fit well. Is the Matterhorn just one of those things? It's like a torture device, or how is it?
It's much worse in my experience.
Oh, no.
Great. I rode it my first trip ever to Disneyland, and I haven't... This was the second time I ever rode it. That's how long it took me to get back on it. Yeah, it's rough. It did feel a little bit better. I think they worked on the track. But no, it's extremely rough. So
I'll do keep that in mind. I'm a dummy. You know, I'll run the full marathon in January and be like, I'm probably fine. Then I get on it and going up the hill, I'm like, what am I doing? It was a stupid mistake. And just hold my breath for the next 3 minutes. Anyway,
but yeah, do it once. And then if you survive,
I have to, absolutely.
You've survived. You've
okay.
done it.
So talk to us about DCA. Cause I want to make sure we get all that in too, because, cool park now. I want to get over there.
Yeah. So that was the last thing we did. We went home and we're exhausted from not even sleeping the night before. And I felt a little bit more confident in my virtual queue skills. So I was able to sleep a little bit better the second night because Web Slingers is also a virtual queue. So I was out there away from the hotel on the street at 7 for that. And I got group 7. Wow. And I was like, I am amazing at this.
I am Spider-Man.
I was like, group 7. I just like yelled it. People were just like, oh, okay. I'm sure for everybody. There are other people out there. Everyone knows what you're screaming about across from Disneyland.
Everybody's doing the exact same thing. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I was very excited about that. So that was like, obviously like very short wait. Yeah. So we went to DCA, which my friend had never been to, and pretty much got called. So I was like, okay, we probably have a little bit, cause you know, you get your hour window. So I was like, we'll try to do something before we're called. I was like, okay, Radiator Spring Racers, we got to go there. Well, like, we were out there at Rope Drop, we're waiting with everybody, and the whole mass of people, like, we pass Avengers Campus, 4 people leave. We keep going, like, nobody's peeling off anywhere else. We turn into Cars Land. Everyone's turning into Cars Land. The entire, like, everyone for Rope Drop is going to that ride. I was like, okay, this is actually not a good plan because it's going to be immediately a 75-minute wait. Right. Like, it's not going to be any shorter. That's what it is all day anyway. So it's not going to be any shorter right in the beginning, right in the front. So we just like got out of the line, had to like find a way. And we went to Incredicoaster, walked right on and rode the front row. So
smart.
We started 8 a.m. with a roller coaster.
That's what that, you know, wakes you up, gets your juices flowing. You're like, yeah, let's go. You know, we're on vacation. We're at Disneyland. We're at DCA today. So good stuff. Now, has your friend so far liked everything that you've done? Has she had any feedback as to your personal touring plan that you guys have laid out? Disneyland the day before, how you're starting the day today. How's that going? What's her feedback?
Yeah, so she loved Rise of the Resistance. Obviously, she had never been on it before. But most of the things at Disneyland she had been on before, even though it had been a while. But when we got into DCA, like, she had everything was new. Like Soarin', like, she'd never been to Disney World. So Soarin' was completely new. Like, Tower of Terror / Guardians, you know, that ride system was completely new. Like, Toy Story Mania, completely new. Like, things that I've been riding for years and years, like, she had no idea about them. So she had a lot more, like, oh, my God, like, at DCA. So, yeah, so after Incredicoaster, we really zigzagged crazy up that park that day because it was a lot. It was a lot hotter. It was very hot that day. The day before at Disneyland was very comfortable. And it just seemed like DCA was much, much more crowded that day. That was a Tuesday. And so we had a lot of ride breakdowns. We had to get rid of, out of two lines, Goofy Sky School and Incredicoaster. We were going to ride it at night. That was going to be our last one. We were almost at the very, we were almost like where they like give you like what row you're going to go to. And they're like, oh, it's broken down. Like everybody has to get out. It wasn't even like a wait and see type of situation. They were just clear the lines out. So that's like, that was like 40 minutes in one line, like 30 in another, and then you just had to leave. You didn't even get to stay. So, and then Toy Story Mania broke down, but we got to wait for that one. And then there was a lot of like hiccups in that day. And then I really wanted to see the Spider-Man show, the Stuntronic,
right,
in the Avengers Campus. That's the only show. I know they have a lot of great shows, but that was the only one I was really interested in. And so, like, we pick a time, we get over there waiting, and it fails. It doesn't go.
So, that just for me, too, and I mean, for some of our listeners that may not know, is that the one where, like, Spider-Man flies through the air? And because that is a crazy, I've only seen, like, stuff online. That is the craziest looking thing I've ever seen. Like, I would have to, I'm not even a Marvel fan. I've never seen an Avengers movie. I just don't watch a lot of movies, and I've never seen Spider-Man or anything. But just seeing that, like, I'm just like, that is unbelievable. I got to check that out. So it's a shame that they canceled the show or something, so you didn't get to see it.
Well, no, the show happened. So like the actor, whoever's friends with Spider-Man, I mean, was like, did his little stuff, and then he like exits the stage, and it's like, okay, like, and it counts down, and then nothing happened, and then he popped out on the other side.
Oh, that's not right.
And I'm like looking around. I'm like, I hope everybody like realizes that something didn't happen. I'm like.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, unless you knew, you probably didn't know. You're like, oh, he just teleported over there. Nice.
I'm like, cool. I'm filming it. And I'm like, oh, man. So we did eventually come back. We made another show, and I saw it, and it was amazing.
Oh,
it was
crazy. So cool. That is so crazy. What was the whole area like? That's something new for everybody. I mean, is there anything in there not to be missed other than that show? I mean, did you guys do Web Slingers? What'd you think?
Yeah, so we got called pretty early for that because we were group 7. And I wasn't as hyped for it as I was for Rise, even though I am like a Spider-Man fan. He's like one of my favorite like superheroes. But I kind of had heard like what it was. It was like kind of like a more like physically involved Toy Story Mania. And I still preferred Toy Story Mania over it. Like, I wouldn't be upset if I didn't get another boarding group for it.
That's good. I mean, the thing is, that's what I tell everybody, you know, because I have all these friends that, you know, they're going for the first time and, you know, they like I said, they haven't been in 10 years. Everything's different. And I tell them, you know, there's different stuff for different people, because sometimes people get back and like, I don't like Flight of Passage. And people are just like, you don't like Flight of Passage. I mean, cause you just mentioned you like it, even because I've never seen Avatar myself. And you said you didn't like the movie, but you like the ride. But, you know, the way I look at it is, like, Disney's got different stuff for different people. I'm fine that I don't like Flight. I love that I don't like Flight of Passage, because then I don't have to fight to get on that ride, because it's a pain in the butt sometimes. Where, you know, I like Na'vi River Journey. If I had to pick, if they gave me a fast pass for either one, I'd do the Na'vi River Journey. I know most people think
that hurts.
it's like a really cool, like, brightly colored, you know, great music, small world kind of thing. I don't know. I'm getting
okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Who knows? But yeah. Anyway.
So I'm glad I went on it. It was interesting to like try to sling webs, you know, with your arms and stuff. And I didn't realize that. I knew you had to like, you know, do the typical like web slinging like hand movement that you see him do. But other things, like you could grab and pull things down from different places. So that was kind of cool.
Right.
But I don't know. It just didn't hit for me, really. So I would go on it again, but because it's a virtual queue, I don't think I would be upset if I didn't get to go on it again. But Avengers Campus in general was fairly small. I think there are rumors of plans to expand at some point, but the first kind of like phase, it was pretty small. it's cool. It's different because it's like, it's not a fantastic, I mean, obviously superheroes are fantastical, but it doesn't look like a fantastical world. You know what I mean? So that was different. But yeah, it was good. And I had never been on Guardians before because I think the last time I don't always go to DCA. Sometimes I just go to Disneyland. So I think the last time I was there, it was being refurbed. And that was the most fun ride of the day. I loved Guardians. I prefer it over Tower of Terror.
I've heard that a lot from even, you know, like the hardiest Disney fans. I've heard that many times. And I think it's because, again, I haven't seen any Marvel movies, but what I always hear is that Guardians has, like, that franchise has a lot of heart, has a lot of humor, and that people kind of connect to the music. You're right, like the mixtape and all that stuff. Like, people really tend to connect with that franchise or those characters more than they do like a standard superhero, like you said, like a Spider-Man. Like, that's a whole different kind of feeling. And that's what I'm guessing that people, because, you know, when you mess with something like Tower of Terror, that's a pretty beloved ride. And I thought that's kind of a, you know, your big risk there for Disney, but almost to the person, everybody's enjoyed it. You know, it's a fun new experience.
Yeah. I'm a Tower of Terror fan. Like, I love the like vintage aesthetic. So like even like the lobby and stuff, like I just love that. Like, I can look at it all day. I love that part of the ride. But as far as the ride itself, it is so much more fun. Like, there's no like feeling scared. It's just fun the whole time. And like each, like there's like several different soundtracks depending on what car you, like what elevator you get on. So not necessarily, I think maybe there's like three or four different, however many elevators there are, you get a different like song to like fall to and stuff. So we went on it twice, and my friend Lizzie said that Incredicoaster and Guardians were her favorite rides that she went on.
That's what I was gonna ask you at the end. That's cool. Yeah, that makes me feel, because I love hearing when people, you know, haven't done things a million times, what sticks out to them, because it helps me, you know, as a travel agent, helps me with my guests that, you know, hey, I don't know what, but again, it could be totally something different, but I'm just like, hey, you know, don't give this one a try, don't miss this. And that's interesting. So we have about 5 minutes left. So give us some more of the highlights of DCA and kind of the overall thoughts on the trip. I'll make sure we get all this in.
Okay. So I'll get some into the food of DCA.
Oh, yeah.
So we got a reservation at Lamplight Lounge, which is really nice because you're semi outside. We sat at the bar and you just had the whole view of Pixar Pier. Like, you could see all the rides going and the water. It was a really nice area that we were seated at. And like now they have way more vegan options, like easy to get. Then they had still, you know, COVID, they were still bringing back things. But what we got was the pastrami spiced impossible burger. And it had like pastrami spiced, like impossible patty, obviously. And like pineapple and like pickles and stuff on it. And it was really good. It was almost too meaty for this vegan. It was like a little too realistic,
That sounds good to me, actually.
Well, yeah, it's kind of meant to be like a crossover thing for people, but that are like transitioning. But there was enough toppings on it that I was like, oh, this is good. But now they have they have their brunch, and they have like potato flautas, and they have other things for dinner as well that you can get. So I would like to try some of their other options. Then I also got the Pixar Pier Frosty Parfait, which is that yellow lemon Dole Whip with the blue raspberry like slushy at the bottom. Mm-hmm. So it's like the blue and the yellow slushy. And that was amazing. That was so good, plant-based. So you can just order that as is, and it's really good. I forgot that I had my mask on, and I went to lick it, and I got Dole Whip on my mask.
We've all done that. I did have an ice cream, and it was all over.
It started to melt, and I was like, okay. Now I have like a big yellow circle on my mask. But that was delicious. And then we had like potato tacos for dinner. It was a really good day. That day was like I said, had a lot of hiccups, but we just were running from one side of the park to the other, but it was really good. And we left the park exhausted, but happy.
So, I mean, we usually talk for like a week on these shows. This is 2 days full of just so much information and so many fun stories, but as we kind of wrap this up, what advice would you give somebody who maybe is headed down for one day Disneyland, one day DCA, and, you know, they want to get the most out of it? Because, you know, maybe you guys, did you do too much? Did you get just the right amount of stuff in? Did you miss something that you wish you would have done now looking back later? What advice would you give somebody that's got this, you know, brief time to go see both parks?
Yeah, so DCA is, I think, very doable in a day. I mean, you won't be able to do every single thing, but you know, the big, everything big you can do, and you can pick some things that are not as quite as popular, and you can get pretty much everything done at DCA. It's a very doable park in a day. Disneyland, not so much. Like, there was stuff that I love to go on, like Star Tours, that I just didn't get the time to go on it. I did get to go on the train, which is always a must.
Right.
But yeah, I think just write down like your top, like, 5, maybe 10 might be pushing it, depending, if you're, especially if you're a first timer, maybe like your top five attractions that you have to get. And, you know, then everything else is like more, or like maybe like the like main snacks you want to have. If there's a restaurant like that you have to do, that way you're not disappointed by like making a list of 25 things. And if you don't get to it, you feel disappointed. So kind of keeping your expectations there, because Disneyland has a lot of attractions. It has more attractions than the Magic Kingdom, I believe. So even though it's like a smaller park. So there's so much to do at the Disneyland park. And as far as like the vegan and like plant-based thing, most of the menus have a little green like leaf next to it. And that means it's plant-based without modifications. So you just order it. You don't have to change anything out. Some things you can ask for substitutions and then it would be suitable. But for Disneyland, I really recommend following Happiest Vegan on Earth. So she's a local vegan that's in the park all the time. And she has a website, she's got an Instagram, she's got a YouTube, and she asks all the questions for you. Like, she goes to the park and asks about this, looks at ingredients for you. And sometimes Disney makes a mistake and something's labeled vegan and it's not. And she's like, you know, on it. So we know not to get that until they fix it, right? So, and then for Disney World, vegan Disney World is also similar help for that, because there's a lot of great stuff vegan at Disney World too. So
very cool. Hey, Ashley, I appreciate you taking the time. It's been a lot of fun just as a Disney fan, of course, not vegan here, but it's great because we have so many listeners that probably are. And, you know, not only are we just kind of having some fun going down the road, hearing about all the rides and the fireworks and going to Blue Bayou and all that stuff, but we're learning something today. It's because of you. So, Ashley, thanks for taking the time, and hope to talk to you soon after your next big Disney adventure.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all of your Disney trip planning needs. We'll take care of you. Disneyland, Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney. Just drop by the website, themagicforless.com. Great trip planning tools there. And while you're there, fill out the quote form. Mention the show when it comes to me, and we'll be planning together. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link, VRGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. That one extra click does help support everything we do. So use it as often as you can. VRGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And also, please, thank you to our patrons. I forgot what I was doing there. Our patrons make all this podcasting possible. I thank each and every one of you so very much. It means a lot. It keeps us on the air. And our patrons get an extra show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. For more information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike and at BeOurGuestPod. Give us a follow over on Facebook and YouTube so you know when we go live. And of course, join us this Sunday night. It's you, me, and Scotty G. We take your calls for an hour talking all things Disney this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central on YouTube or Facebook. You pick. We're in the same place at the same time. It's incredible. It's technology. All right, so we are going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. But thanks for kicking it off with us, really. It means a lot, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the show. A lot of fun today, too, because we got to talk Disneyland. So for Ashley, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.